In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome in, welcome back. 1 hour down, 3 hours of fun to come. Steve Rosenblum and the legendary and iconic Hub Arkish. We'll be here at 8:30. We will talk with Wayne Larrivee, play-by-play announcer for the Green Bay Packers. 9 o'clock, Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end, co-host of the Believe in Bears podcast with Marshall Harris and Gabe Ramirez, regulars on this here radio station, which is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And at 9:30, we'll talk Cubs again. Megan Montemurro of the Tribune, she covers them. So I wanted to bring up something. We had talked about rosters, and you talked about the depth, which is the bottom third of the rosters, you saw it play out as you made the point in the preseason, how good against good teams the Bears roster, the depth was. Agents were surveyed by The Athletic, and this happens annually, and they rated them. They were asked agents to name certain things and who did this and who did that and what do you think. So let's get past the franchise, or whether the best franchise or worst franchise. One question is, which franchise had the best offseason? And the agent's response was the Commanders were number one, Texans number two. The Bears and Chargers were tied for third. Interesting, they made a trade for a likely Hall of Fame receiver. And in the Bears, the comments The Athletic picked out, the momentum started with last year's trade and extension for Montez Sweat. They made a call on Justin Fields' future with the organization. Then they drafted Caleb Williams and gave him a receiver with Roma Dunze. The momentum continues. Interestingly, that's it. Talking about the momentum. Later on in the survey of agents on the NFL, they ask, who's the best talent evaluator? Again, understand, the momentum continues for the Bears here. John Schneider of the Seahawks got the most votes, along with Brett Veach of the Chiefs. But you would hope the guy who put together this Super Bowl champions would get some votes. Ryan Gutekunst and Adam Peters of the Commanders, Gutekunst of the Packers, they were tied for second. And other guys getting votes included Chris Ballard, former Bears employee, Eric DaCosta, Brad Holmes, Nolan Teasley, the assistant GM. And then they have, like in college, others receiving votes. Nowhere in this is Ryan Poles' name.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum continues about this great offseason, and they're asking about talent evaluators. And they cite Roma Dunze, somebody he drafted. They cite Montez Sweat, somebody they drafted. They cite getting rid of Justin Fields, which he kind of took a beating on, but he gave Justin Fields, he probably bought himself a lot of credibility among players and agents for getting Justin Fields to the team Justin Fields wanted to go to. And Ryan Pohl, it's like he doesn't get any respect. Now, this is an ages poll. He gets respect around here because this is all kinds of amen and hosannas. So what do you think about something that goes this way with Ryan Poles?
Well, let me start with this. I'm not criticizing The Athletic in any way. I'm actually a paid subscriber to The Athletic.
Right here with you.
Yeah, I like The Athletic. And by the way, they've hired a number of my former employees.
Yeah, the sports writer of the year, Kevin Fishbane.
You know, who would like to have back if I get him back. But I can't afford him. I guess they're making more money. My point is, I can't think of anybody less valuable to poll for quality of general managers
than agents.
Agents know nothing about football except the contracts that these agents write. They're not football
so
experts.
So you think they might be biased, huh?
Well, beyond that, I know they're biased because they're going to lean towards their clients, you know. And so, you know, evaluating, you know, Ryan Poles based on agents' opinion to me is meaningless. But it is an interesting what they came up with, and I'd love to hear them explain where they did rank him more low. Why? You know, what are you seeing that other NFL, you know, GMs and people aren't seeing? So it's an interesting conversation, and it is surprising. You know, being ranked the third best offseason isn't bad. You know, there's 32 teams. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody, you know, if you got 10 people, just any 10 people, and picked amongst the top three, they'd probably switch them off 1, 2, and 3. So it's not like they put them in a bad place. But I just think it's interesting that The Athletic, of all the people they'd go to rank GMs, would be agents, because the only thing they care about is the money they get from them. And they're mm-hmm. ranking them on whether they've negotiated good contracts or bad contracts with them.
Well, there's bias in every vote that is cast, every survey that there is, and you try to eliminate it, but you can't possibly do that. You make the excellent point. And here's further. They asked agents future GM to watch. Ian Cunningham finished first. He got the most votes, the Bears assistant general manager, who did interview for the Cardinals general manager job.
Mm-hmm.
And however it turned out, you could understand why he said, you know, maybe not so much Bidwell for me. Whatever he said, he's not there.
Yeah, but Cunningham didn't get the job that he interviewed for, you know. So you know, put that into it too. And he is well thought of. You know, there's no question about that. But to rank him ahead of his boss is kind of silly. You know, think about that. They're ranking him ahead of his boss based on what?
Right. That's why I wanted to bring this up. I didn't understand it. I was trying to find some truth and understand what agents are thinking. And it comes back to what I've always said. You pointed it out. Number one rule in life is follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what agents are concerned with. But I don't see, I don't know where Ryan Poles would have gotten a reputation for tremendous penury. I mean, he's negotiated things. He's negotiated contracts. He's negotiated trades. He's put together rosters that players want to be a part of. I mean, DeAndre Swift didn't just show up and say, hey, you guys got an opening. He negotiated a contract to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And however Keenan Allen got here, whatever okay he needed, they haven't gotten the extension yet. But guys, Jalen Johnson got his extension, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, guys, the deserving guys, Cole Kmet, yeah, I wasn't sure at the time that was such a good bet. That's a great contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cole Kmet is a top 10 tight end. And while we have seen very little of Caleb Williams throwing to, I think that's going to be a regular thing. Don't you? Don't you think Cole Kmet becomes bigger than we've seen so far?
Yeah. During training camp, it seems to me to be his most comfortable target, him and DJ Moore. But they're trying to figure out how to balance Moore and Allen now, because you've got two number one receivers.
And Odunze's over here going, hey, I'm a first rounder.
Yeah. And you know, that's why I made the comment on the air the other day that the Bears had the best, off season in the NFL, and people started going after DeAndre Swift because a number of people feel people who I respect, you know, I'm talking about to other GMs who I've talked to, feel that they overpaid for DeAndre Swift, and they probably did when you look at the other running back contracts that have been given. But here's the thing: he is maybe the best receiving running back in the league. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best receiving running backs, and that's why they wanted him, again, to help Caleb Williams. Everything they did was to work with their new young quarterback. And so, yeah, you can get accused of maybe overpaying a little bit for DeAndre Swift. They did overpay a little bit for DeAndre Swift, but it was to fit a specific need that this GM knew was going to be critical to this team succeeding this year, and that's why I can't call that a bad signing.
So the difference between DeAndre Swift and Christian McCaffrey is how big, what, how would you evaluate, how would you scout that?
In terms of their quality as a running back?
Yeah, I mean, they're what they do, they're very similar skill sets, very similar importance to the quarterback and to the offensive scheme and to the value in being able to do multiple things.
Well, I actually, for the TV show, which I think is on the, what's today, Monday? Yeah, it aired this
Pro
weekend.
Pro Football Weekly.
Yeah, and I picked Christian McCaffrey as my MVP pick this year.
So there's a gap.
Yeah, there is a gap.
I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just asking how big it is, because that's the same kind of role. The what you described is what the Bears want from Swift, what the 49ers get from McCaffrey.
Yeah, and McCaffrey may also be the one guy who I would pick as a better receiver at running back than DeAndre Swift.
You're allowed. He's certainly got the what with.
He's a complete player. And he is making, I believe, $30 million this year, and I believe Swift is making $16 million this year. You know, so there's a big difference there.
So is the gap the same as the salaries? I mean, is there that drop off, that difference? I don't know who else. Who's between McCaffrey at the top and Swift where you imagine he's going to be for the Bear, what he's done for the Bears? What other guys are there?
Steve, there are so many good running backs in the NFL right now.
Both pass catching and running backs?
Not as many. But what I was going to say is I don't know that I could name the top 10 running backs in the NFL because there's so many. You know, so McCaffrey's in a league of his own as far as I'm concerned. Derrick Henry is another guy who he's aging now, but really interesting move by the Ravens because I think it's going to make a big difference. But there's a lot of guys who I'm not all that familiar with who are amongst the top running backs in the league right now because it changes so much from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
But we've kind of gotten sidetracked from what we were talking about polls and as a GM, but Swift is a good example of why I think he's done a really good job is that he didn't try to go out and get the most popular guy or the most expensive guy. He tried to get the guy who would best fit the system that he's trying to build. And in that, I think he got the right guy in DeAndre Swift.
And the idea of bringing in Gerald Everett when he knew what Waldron wanted to run and a lot of two tight end stuff. So what will help Bears fans? We saw whatever we may have seen, you know, they're not showing everything in training camp in the exhibition game. So how does that play? That's going to play a bigger role than we've seen. How much bigger? Where does that play out for Bears fans?
Well, you know, hopefully it plays out in the playoffs. And that's all.
Well, how will they see it when it's done right? What will it look like when it's right?
Boy, that's a great question because now I'm trying to think back to 85, the last time it was right.
Well, a two tight end offense when it's and you go with a lot of that and DeAndre Swift and you've still got those two receivers in Moore and Keenan Allen, and yet the tight ends are there to the threat of the run to make Caleb Williams more dangerous, dropping back, give him a little more time. Maybe the windows are open a little bit longer.
Well, I think that the main thing with Everett is I think they were trying to give Williams as many good targets as he could get. And Everett is a much better target than any other tight ends they had on the roster prior to bringing him in. But I think it's also interesting that they kept the old man number three, you know, because they had six tight ends in training camp.
Yeah.
And this is where I go back to what I was saying before about the Cubs. It's about leadership as much as it is about everything else. So they fixed the tight end position by getting a second receiver who could be a dangerous target. And then by having a 40-year-old guy who can lead the entire locker room. And to me, that's a plus with Poles. And apparently it's being treated as a negative with some folks because there were other running backs who could have also gotten the, what's the total contract? 34, whatever it was that Swift got, but they didn't fit the total need that Poles was looking for. And that's what I like about Poles at this point. There are multiple reasons for every move he makes, and he tries to meet all of his requirements, not just one.
He's Hub Arkush. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're in for Mully and Haw. And by the way, I have to tell you about this. Mully and Haw will be back tomorrow morning, starting at 5:30, getting you set for the start of the Bears season this Sunday. Stay tuned all week long for in-depth coverage of the week one matchup against the Titans. We apparently are the week zero version of the Bears Week pregame show.
I was gonna say I'd rather have Mullion Haw too, but but I mean,
people listening,
you know, when are we gonna matter?
What are chopped liver?
Yes,
we are. Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our phones and our text line. And when we come back, there is more Bears discussion to be had, and I'd like to discuss that defense that I found something that struck me as a little alarming. I'll run that by you. Okay, Hub, you ready for that?
Ready for that.
Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, that's us. That's us. I'll be Steve Rosenblum. He'll be Hub Arkish. We'll assume the position.
You want to change it for the next segment?
Hey.
You'll be Hub Arkish.
No, it's confused people enough. We're in for Mully and Ha. We're going to give you 4 hours of fun. We are almost an hour and a half into it. In a little over an hour from now, we will be talking with Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play announcer for the Packers, longtime friend of Hub Arkish, who's a longtime guy. I love talking to Wayne. He's just right on it.
Yeah.
He's terrific.
Yeah, and you know, not only you know one of my best friends, but Wayne and I called Bears games together for 17 years. And so
you were helping young Tyler over here as he learns.
Well, while Wayne is thought of as the Packers guy now, I'm sure most Bears fans remember he was ours once too, and they liked him as much then as they dislike him now for being a Packer guy. So.
Well, he found, you should pardon the phrase, greener pastures. And that was Wayne and you. And Butkus?
Yes. I had Butkus. I had Gary Fencik. I had Thayer and I, you know, were together for a number of years. But I can't remember what year Wayne left. I don't know if Tom came in when Jeff was the host or if he worked with Wayne. But, worked with a lot of great Bears doing those games.
Knowing the sounds Dick Butkus would make, which were similar to what we saw on NFL films, as John Facenda, the voice of God, would describe them. Did you ever fear for your life?
No.
In excitement, the fact that he would, an arm would fly out a fist would flail, and this was Dick Butkus, and he wasn't taking any prisoners, just in joy, just in happiness for the Bears doing something right, and you weren't in fear that he would do that?
No, but I guess the main reason is because we did become close, you know, over the years, and maybe I have forgotten the early years when I did for it a little bit, but the thing about Butkus is that he is, to my knowledge, the best defensive player I've ever seen,
yeah,
and also one of the toughest and most dangerous and scariest players I've ever seen.
Hello.
But as a broadcaster and as a friend and as a human being years later and as an actor, no, he was actually very calm, very quiet, not scary at all, and really enjoyed, you know, we did spend a fair amount of time together before he unfortunately passed away, and never nervous around him about in any way about anything, never saw him act, you know, scary to people, you know, away from football. He wasn't the person that everybody thinks he was as a human being off the air and away from the game.
Well, what do you mean? Separate. Give me an example.
He was quiet. He was warm. He was friendly. He was funny. Very funny.
Well, people think he was just a caveman?
Well, I don't know, you know, what other people thought, but you really, for the majority of his life, thought about him as an actor more than a football player because he acted longer than he played football. And
for a different generation, yeah, he did.
I don't know if he was a good actor or a bad actor, but he was a fun actor. Everybody enjoyed watching him, and he was on some good shows.
Yeah. Oh, my. The Miller Lite commercial with Bubba Smith was outstanding. I urge you, after this show, of course, but I urge you to go find that on the YouTube-y thing that Dick Butkus and Bubba Smith. You got to know what Bubba Smith was. He was a Dick Butkus. He was that kind of guy, defensive player, just scary, scary football player.
Yeah, people who knew Dick away from football will tell you there was never anything scary about him away
from
football.
But it is really scary when a guy who is capable of that on the football field, and he's just talking like a normal person, you go, oh my God, this is a powder. All right, so we're talking about great defensive players and great defenses, and the Bears, I keep reading how great this defense is, and I see the stat that the Bears, they led the NFL in fewest points in the last eight games of the season. That's really good. And then I looked at, well, who? Don't tell me what you did. Tell me who you did it to and when. So I just looked at quarterbacks. They beat Bryce Young. Barely, by the way. One of the worst situations you could imagine. They beat Bryce Young. They beat Josh Dobbs. Now they beat Jared Goff decisively. They have a history of doing that, but they beat Jared Goff. They beat Kyler Murray, but his rating was 100 just about. They beat Tyler Heinicke. I mean, this was not beating Brady and Manning and Breeze. And like, sorry, no. Now, here's who they lost to. This defense that led the league in fewest points and is being talked up the way it is now. They gave up 31 points to Jared Goff's Lions. Joe Flacco got off the couch and beat the Bears. They lost to Jordan Love. That's a recurring story. That's a never-ending story. The Bears defense also beat two coaches who would be fired. And actually, in all, Eberflus beat four coaches who would be fired. Of his seven wins, four game against coaches that would be fired. So, I think you think Bears fans are not wild enough about the team, as we talked about earlier. I think this idea that this is a top 10 defense is not something I see. It might ultimately be right. I don't see it now based on last year, the teams, the quarterbacks, the competition they faced. Yes, no, what do you think, Hub?
Well, I wouldn't downgrade him because of it, for the simple reason that they didn't beat just the quarterback. They didn't beat just the head coach. They beat the teams. And they don't get to pick the roster. They just have to play it. Okay.
Right.
And to go from 0-4 to 6-5 is impressive, no matter who you do it against, because the four teams they lost to weren't that great either, if you go back and look at them.
Right. That's a head coach not having his team ready and didn't take advantage of whatever, and also a reflection of the roster at that time.
And that's why I started where I did an hour and a half ago with looking at the preseason so far, their backups were much better than these other teams' backups. And those four teams were all playoff teams last year. The Bengals weren't, but they would have been if he doesn't need to get hurt. I just don't make too much of that, or I shouldn't say that. I don't make as much of that as I do of studying the roster and talking to GMs and sources and finding out what they think of the talent on the Bears roster.
Not agents, though. You don't ask for agents.
I don't ask agents for talent. I'd like them to work out my contract, but no. I'm not saying that they're dumb or they don't know. It's just not their area of expertise. And so I think, Steve, we've been doing this a long time. You can always find a way to make something look good or bad if you want to. It's sports and fans are going to do that. I understand all that. But the stuff that is really meaningful, I really only listen to head coaches, general managers, and players that I trust for opinions about talent and how good or bad teams are. The rest of it, I just take with a grain of salt.
312-644-6767 is our number. You can call. You can text. That'll get you to both places. I don't want anyone to think I'm trashing the Bears defense. I'm not. And I'm not minimizing what people think. That you're calling it a top 10 defense, that I don't see it. And I love the players. I love Montez Sweat made everybody better. So everything happened once he got here, including Jervon Dexter's improvement.
Mm-hmm.
His last 8 games versus Jalen Carter's last 8 games were better. There were more sacks. There were a lot of numbers in which a lot of plays that Jervon Dexter was better than Jalen Carter, and everybody was regretting the Bears not drafting Jalen Carter. There, Jalen Johnson was a guy. That defensive backfield was terrific. I am a little concerned. Jaquan Brisker hasn't been out there. He makes such a difference. He's so important to what they've done. But again, in the preseason, I don't know. If it was a regular season game, would he have played? We don't know that. But they have tremendous, they have game-changing players at each level.
Mm-hmm.
But altogether, based on last year, I don't know. I don't see this as top 10 right now. I don't see this as dominant. I see that's more hope than numbers, more hope than what I've seen on tape based on playing good competition. You're right. They don't get to play they don't get to choose the quarterback. They don't get to choose the roster. But those rosters that they played against don't impress me when they've got to beat Jordan Love. I got to see them beat him twice this year. They got to beat Jared Goff twice this year. When they play their division, they have to take the North, the way Ryan Pohl said. You dominate your division. We're going back, Ditka might have been a caveman, but he knew if you controlled the division, mm-hmm. you were going everywhere. You had every chance to get everywhere. And I just haven't seen that.
Yeah. Now, you do have to keep in mind, though, that controlling the division means 4-2, not 6-0. I mean, 6-0 is asking for too much from anybody. It's not going to happen that often.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm asking for a Super Bowl. Too much?
No.
It's good to have a goal.
It's not too much. And if you can go 4-2 in the division, you can have a really good chance to get to the Super Bowl as long as you'll win.
There you go.
As long as you win 11 or 12 games, you know. So, but when I look at the Bears' defense, I think the secondary, if anything, is probably underrated. I know the linebackers are underrated because, again, I have my sources telling me they have the best linebacker group in the NFC. I don't know if
best linebacker group in the
not
NFC.
Not linebacker. The middle of the defense. This is where,
yeah,
this is
linebackers.
Where, yeah, this is where my memory gets to me sometimes. But, yes, I've talked to several GMs who said they think they have the group. Not, they're not naming any one as the best. They're saying they have the best group of 3 starting
complimentary
linebackers. Yes, and that's the reason that the defense played so well the second half of the season is the talent in that secondary and with the linebackers. But where they still have questions on defense and why I'm not sure, I think they're a top 10 defense, but I'm not sure they're top 7, top 5, any better than that, is there are still questions on the defensive line. The only known factor is Montez Sweat,
yep.
And that's only from the second half you got from him last season. You know, there's a reason the Commanders moved him. Now they were rebuilding, and I thought they could have gotten more for him than they did, which, again, is to Ryan Poles' credit.
Ryan Poles is allowed to win a trade.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think you mentioned Gervin Dexter. That's key. because they are counting on him being a difference maker this year. Not just a starter, which he wasn't the start of year last year, but a difference maker. And he has shown some signs that maybe he can be, but I don't think we've seen nearly enough to count on that yet. And once you get past him and then past Montez Sweat, you've got a bunch of other guys who maybe, you know, may play fairly well for you, but they either need to get better or the Bears need to get more talent on the defensive line before they're a top three, top two defense.
I think both are advisable. And I think that's what Ryan Poles keeps searching for. They brought in several defensive tackles. Even they're churning of all the roster churn. Defensive line is where we've seen a lot of it. 312-644-6767 is the number. Matthew on the road. Welcome to the Score. Happy Labor Day to you.
Happy Labor Day, gentlemen. Nice to speak to both of you.
All right, we're here for that.
I got a quick question. Hub might be more privy to speak on this, but are they going to, are the Bears going to go exclusively out of shotgun again this year, or are they going to mix in like they have? I was just watching Caleb at USC highlights. It looked like he does almost better under center. Mm-hmm. Just a quick question for y'all.
Well, yeah, Matthew, but I think the answer is no. They can't go exclusively out of shotgun because it's a lot harder to run the football shotgun. I mean, you can do it, but it's not the way you want to plan your running game. So no team is going to be 100% shotgun, you know, 100% run. The Bears probably will increase their percentage of shotgun this year because that is to Caleb Williams' expertise, but I don't think they'll make a dramatic change. Well, Shane Waldron's new, so I don't know. I can't say he won't make a dramatic change, but no, they're not going to be just a shotgun team. That's not going to work in the NFL.
All right, yeah, just because, the center looked a little shaky in the preseason. And I don't know, just a quick question for you guys, but I appreciate it, guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Matthew, one other point on that. Both those centers have been trying to play with minor injuries. They haven't been able to get either one of them on the line yet and let them, play two whole games. So that is still in development, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's certainly not a good thing. But until we see these first couple regular season games, find out who's healthy and then see how they're producing, then we're going to know a lot more about that offensive
scary line. Proposition. I mean, to the point where you had defensive linemen filling in for injured offensive linemen just to get through a practice. Shotgun or under center, what do you think helps that particular quarterback, Caleb Williams, what do you think helps him more see defenses, I diagnose defenses? If there's some shakiness on the offensive line, what would you prefer? Which formation would you prefer predominate?
Well, it is harder to defend the pass than the run. And I say that because you have to be prepared for more things, more options, more schemes, more routes, And so in that regard, I would think Williams, but I tell you what, Steve, the thing I've been the most impressed by so far with the little bit I've seen is the way he reads the field. And it's what I'm seeing in practice as much as what we've seen in a little bit of games he's played. He is ahead of, I don't want to say any rookie I've ever seen, but most rookies I've ever seen with being prepared to do that right now. So I don't think that they're adjusting the scheme or calling plays because they better suit him. I think they're just continuing to try and develop him and make sure he can handle either best. And then once they get into the season and they see which one is producing the most offense, that's the one they're going to lean to the most.
Not only do the Bears have problems at center, but they have problems in center. I'll explain. We'll get Hub's thoughts on it. Rosenblum and Arkish, we are in for Mully and Haw. Thanks for listening on this Labor Day. Hope you're doing well. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Indeed, I am the incandescent Steve Rosenblum. He's the iconic and legendary Hub Arkish. We are in for Mully and Haw. 4 hours of fun! We have a little more than 2 hours to go in that fun. About 45 minutes from now, we'll talk with Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play man for the Green Bay Packers, the evil, dreaded Green Bay Packers. But we're here for you on Labor Day, 414 Texter. Only the presence of Hub could keep this from devolving into Labor Day suckage. we're sort of sorry that happened. But speaking of suckage, we talked about, you were talking about earlier, the Bears offensive line problems and the questions at center. But they have second questions at center when it comes to a long snapper.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Scales, he's got boo-boos. He's, I don't even know what it is. Does anybody know what it is? And they're signing guys off the signing Lions long snapper. And what do you make of this? How serious of this? This is about points.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Patrick Scales is very good at what he does. He's going to be out at least 4 weeks because he's on IR. And, you know, it is a concern. But let's face it, long snapping isn't that hard. And Pat, if you're listening, I apologize.
Oh my God, Patrick Manley's going to come down and...
Well, yeah, but Patrick, let me finish. That's just the snapping of the ball. Obviously, the blocking is very important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, tackling once you go down and try and get
some. Yeah.
I'm not saying the position is very important, and I'm not saying it's easy. And you know, you've got in Patrick Scales, you've got a really good one, and Pat Manley had one of the best in the league for a number of years. But at the end of the day, there was over 100 long snappers in college football last year, plus the 32 in the NFL. They can find a guy for 4 or 5 weeks until they get their long snapper back. Of the various things I'm worried about, this isn't one that I would worry too much about unless the guy who's going to do it for the first 4 weeks screws up the first week, and then you're going to worry about
it. Well, yeah, that's where you're like, these are points, and these are points a rookie quarterback would want, and if it's a difference between 1-0 and 0-1, the whole idea of seeing the Bears 0-1 again, here we go. The joy will be that it's not going to be 0-1, you lost to Green Bay. If they're 0-1, oh my God, you lost to Tennessee. What are you doing losing to Tennessee? And a quarterback who has an endorsement for mayonnaise cologne. You can't lose to a guy who's got an endorsement for mayonnaise cologne. Will Levis, you are just too weird. But that's why I think it's vital. You talk about the operation, and it involves points, and it involves something that kickers are, you know, last second, you need that. You need those guys. The operation's got to work.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I guess we're talking about two things at once here. The Titans have had a pretty good offseason, you know, and so it's not necessarily the easiest opener you could get, but it's certainly not the hardest opener you can get. I think they're going to be okay in week one. We'll see what happens after that. You know, and then getting back to the long snapper thing, it's been interesting, and I think that this is just the way that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are using the NFL rules. They haven't really told us anything about any of the injured players as far as what the injury is. We haven't gotten a lot of details.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when you hear a player's injured, the first thing they tell you is what the problem is. They don't have to tell us until starting this week. They're now going to have to tell you what the injury is. And so we're going to learn more. But, you know, what I've heard to this point is that they're not terribly concerned about the Patrick Scales injury. They're just trying to get through the minimum of 4 weeks they're going to lose before they get him back.
Well, maybe Patrick Manley, who will tell you how important the long snapper is, can do some scouting for him. If there were 100 long snappers in college and 32 in the NFL, they could tell you. They're happy. They seem happy with the guy they got.
Yeah, and Pat, again, if you're listening, I didn't say at any point.
Don't hurt us.
No, I didn't say at any point. It wasn't important. It's a critical part of the roster, just like everything else. I'm just saying the actual snapping of the ball, I'm saying, is something that a lot of guys can do.
Mm.
Now, not all those guys can cover kicks. They can block. You know, that's the reason that there's only 32 in the NFL. There are some that are better than others. I just don't think it's that hard of an injured position to fill for a short time that it's likely to cost you a game or win you a game.
312-644-6767 is the number. That'll get you to our phones. That'll get you to our text line. And I missed these texts before. We were discussing Cubs and Sox a little while ago. 847 texture. The Cubs have a Taylor Swift candle. The Sox need a Yahrzeit candle. I'll whiteboard that for you. Yahrzeit is the memorial candle that Jews light in memory of a loved one who passed away. That is really good. The highest compliment I can pay is that line is good enough to steal. And just when you thought there would be no suckage here, no Labor Day suckage, we have devolved. 630 texture points out that 1962 was a 162-game schedule, not 160, as I had said earlier. So the Mets must have had a couple of rainouts. So the White Sox are pursuing a record They're pursuing the chance to be the worst team in baseball ever, ever, ever since 1900. We'll start there, modern day baseball. Ever, ever, ever. And they've lost 40 of their last 44 games. They need to go 12-12. This team that lost 40 of 44 games to avoid becoming worse than the 62 Mets. I like their chances not to. And a 229 texter says, should White Sox fans pack the house on the day they set the record and cheer for the opposition? Now, that's real interesting, because that would be Fan Depreciation Day, wouldn't it?
You know, I thought I knew how bad they were, but I didn't realize until you said that just now, they actually went 4-40.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize
they're, it's not, see, it wasn't all Pedro. It was Grady. It was all of them. They're bad and getting worse. And there you go. They had Garrett Crochet tie a record with 7 strikeouts to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they never scored. They still haven't scored. And they lost the game. And he looked every bit, like Randy Johnson. There was all of this, the 6'10" and the leg kick and the left-hander, like, woo. You know what? I would have liked to have seen John Kruk bat against Garrett Crochet, because John Kruk, it's still a wonderful comic YouTube video. John Kruk, former White Sox legend, by the way, batting against Randy Johnson in the All-Star game. And running away, running out of the batter's box as soon as the big unit went into the lineup. By the way, a big unit was represented by Craig Counsell's agent, Barry Meister.
Oh, okay.
Same guy. And we were waiting. We're starting Craig Timber the way we went into it. And that's the way it's going to work. Here's a question for you. 229 texter, if things go sideways for some reason in Cincinnati, meaning the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
is it possible Trey Hendrickson comes available at the NFL trade deadline? Cincinnati is entering salary cap hell with their receivers and quarterbacks getting all the money. So what do you think of that? Are you looking that far ahead?
Well, it's an interesting question, but it's really just, I don't want to say meaningless. That's not nice. But I mean, I suppose it's possible, but at the same time, I don't see anybody predicting Cincinnati's going backwards. Most people are predicting Cincinnati to go forward. A lot of people are picking him to win that division this year, which was the best division in football last year. And so I it's a nice thing to think about, I guess, but I think it's highly unlikely.
Okay. I don't know if the Bears, so the NFL trade deadline becomes weirder. It's certainly not like any other trade deadline. And I don't know if you're, if you see anything different, is it changing? Have you seen the trend the last couple of years where it might change, where it might be something worth looking forward to?
Well, nothing that sticks to me as far as coming up with a change or some new information, but that's when they traded for Montez Sweat last year, you know, and,
right.
and you look at the difference it made. So, you know, it can have a huge impact. And the question is, who is going to be available? And is there another player as good as Montez Sweat who's going to be available, who you can get at as reasonable a price as you got him? So I think that it doesn't really matter how the season starts. I'm sure that that Ryan Poles is going to be watching very closely as they move closer towards the trade deadline to see if there's a way to get better. That's his weekly and daily job, you know, regardless of where the team is at right now. But being able to predict that without knowing where all 32 teams are going to be after the first 5 or 6 weeks and who might want to be making deals and selling deals, it's just, who can say right now? I just don't know.
And part of the advantage Ryan Poles had was he had salary cap space. He could make that deal for a guy, give him new paper, and make sure there was none of this got messy and there was no chaos right. involved. And that's part of it now, and the Bears are still in pretty good shape with that.
They're in decent shape. They're not in nearly as good a shape as they were last year, but they're in good enough shape to be able to make the moves they have to make if they're close to being who they want to be, but they've got to get another expensive player or two. That they could do. But the first question is going to be, where are you looking to make trades if you're a Bears fan? Is the center position not been fixed? Is that going to be the biggest concern? Are you deep enough on the defensive line?
No.
Well, right now you're not.
They're telling you they're not.
Yeah. And so where might you be looking, and where is that kind of talent going to be available? And that's just nothing but guessing right now. I don't know what else I can say.
He's Hub Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Take a break. When we come back, next hour, we'll be talking with Wayne Larrivee, play-by-play man for the Green Bay Packers. Before that, I want to talk to Hub about Hard Knocks. Last episode, right, coming up Tuesday, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow. Part of week zero. No, we're week zero, or we're the week pair. And then week one starts tomorrow when Molly and Haw return at 5:30 on this here very radio station in this time slot. And get you ready for the Titans Bears clash at Soldier Field to open the NFL season. Well, let's talk some Hard Knocks. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Hub Arkish, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.